Back at Castle Rock, Cecilia was surprised to find that Miranda had left not just the palace, but the planet. She checked the net and found that Brunn was the only family member on planet. Brunn had moved to Appledale, the Thornbuckle family estates on Castle Rock. Cecilia had always liked Appledale, with its pleasant view of rolling fields and orchards. She called and, as she'd expected, Brunn invited her out to stay. Brunn met her at the front door, quickly directed the staff to take her luggage upstairs, and then, even on the way to the handsome downstairs morning room, frothed over with indignation about Hobart Consoline, who had gotten himself elected Speaker of the Table of Ministers.
"Hobart? He's not that bad, is he? He was always polite to me. I never had that much to do with him, but..."
"Hobart is a raging bully."
Brunn waved Cecilia to a comfortable chintz-covered chair and threw herself into another.
"Just wait till you hear."
She took off at a conversational gallop, surprising Cecilia with her grasp of family relationships. Cecilia wondered if the girl had been listening behind closed doors and actually paying attention when she seemed just a young fluffhead. It was always possible. This was, after all, the same Brunn who had engineered her escape from the nursing home.
"I wouldn't have believed it. Are you sure? I mean, he's always been a bit pig-headed, but most of us are from time to time."
A maid had brought in trays of pastries and sliced fruits and pots of coffee and tea. Cecilia filled a little plate with apple slices and munched. They were just as crisp and flavorful as she remembered.
"He slapped down Great Uncle Victor in the meeting. Victor! And Stefan didn't say a word. He's found excuses to get rid of most of the ministers, replacing them with his own people. And now that he has the votes, it doesn't really matter if a few of Dad's are left."
Brunn was ignoring the food so far, but Cecilia took one of the ginger curls as well.
"What about Harless?"
"He's bought Harless. I suspect with the help of his new Minister of Judicial Affairs, Norm Radson. You know how helpful or unhelpful the courts can be in estate cases."
"Indeed I do."
"Well, it is amazing how many rulings have changed in Harless's favor since Norm took over that ministry. Without Kevil Mahoney, or access to his private files, and nobody, not even George, knows the access codes to Kevil's files."
Cecilia did. She thought back to their last conversation, when they had discussed her own tangled legal problems in the wake of being declared incompetent. Kevil had trusted her with the voice codes for just this sort of situation.
"Has anyone tried to have Kevil declared incompetent?"
"Not that I know of. George certainly hasn't. Why?"
"Why not? If Kevil is still incapacitated and unable to access his own files."
"I mean, we could use the information, but we're not going to press for that. Not after what happened to you."
"Is he conscious?"
"Yes, but he can't seem to remember much or concentrate. His doctors don't advise rejuvenation because of the extent of the neurological damage, and the recent discoveries of what went wrong with fleet rejuvenations."
"I hadn't heard about that."
"No, it came out after you left. Some of the senior NCOs, the chiefs, started going senile. I actually saw one like that, back on Copper Mountain, before I left and all the rest happened. Memory loss, irrational thought processes. I mentioned it to Esme, in fact, but then we had that fight. Anyway, there were more of them, a lot more of them. And when they did some research, they found some flaws in the process. They've put about half of the flag officers on indefinite leave because they were rejuved. Just in case. None of them had shown symptoms yet, unless you count the pescu."
"Flaws in the process or in the drugs themselves? Remember what happened on Patchcock?"
"That's what I thought at first. Just a batch of bad drugs. I raised a formal question in council, the second meeting that is, not the first. But Hobart claimed I was just doing it to embarrass him, to use it as an excuse for family rivalry. And one of his bootlickers got up and sprouted a whole involved line about genetic susceptibility and the inbred genome of fleet families."
"What did Venezia Moraline say?"
"She wasn't there. And I can't get a hold of Harris or Vita Serrano either. Both Serrano admirals were taken off active duty. Fleet personnel officers claim not to know where they are. Harris has a ship, but it's out on patrol or something, inaccessible to civilians, which doesn't make sense because I've been able to contact Esme, and she's on an SAR way off at the remote end of familiar space."
"How is Esme?"
"Oh, pining for Baron, worried about his new tech's wives. Apparently fleet accounting has garnished Baron's entire salary to help support them. And she's getting a little bored with the SAR, I gather. Also, she's found out that Fleet doesn't think Land Bride should marry Fleet officers.
But she is a Land Bride. What do they think of that?
Yes. It's funny, really. She says they've got it all wrong, and she didn't want to be one anyway. But it's tied up in the paperwork for her to marry Baron, even if he weren't going broke trying to support all those New Tech's women. Oh, poor Esme. It's her first time in love. I remember how I pined for Tommy Rakeseller, first time I had it bad. And I thought the universe was dreadfully unfair because his parents sent him off to camp. Oh, I know this is more serious, but it's really hard on her.
And Baron?
Baron's at the other end of our universe, escorting a Lone Star Confederation Ranger back here.
What?
Yes, they warned me, or rather, Waltrow did, that crazy professor who's hanging around the New Tech's women. It never occurred to anyone official that introducing me to a Ranger might upset me. Apparently, Hobart's new Minister of Foreign Affairs decided to shut the wrong barn door long after the horse had returned and froze all the assets of Lone Star Confederation citizens and closed the border.
But Lone Star had nothing to do with it.
You know that. My father knew that, and even I know that. But all Hobart had to hear was the word Texas and the fact that they were ageists, as he calls it. The Lone Star Confederation has been a reasonable trading partner for centuries. They were understandably annoyed and insisted on sending someone to educate us.
Cecilia leaned back in her chair.
You know, Brunn, I find it hard to believe that you, of all people, are being this politically minded.
Me too. I keep thinking, well, this is not me. This is my evil twin. But one thing I did learn in all that hell is what happens if you don't pay attention. So Mother's gone back to Cerealis to dig out all of Dad's files that she can. Some of them were never transferred here, and tried to stave off Uncle Hollis's grab for the family properties. And here I am.
Yes, I see.
And you did find a good home for the twins?
Yes, a very good home. They will be loved and cared for.
Good. I thought after you left that I should have suggested Rafaela. But then she's been cleaning up my messes for far too long. I'm glad you found someone else.
You said a new Minister of Foreign Affairs. Who would that be?
Minor family. Major Payne. Paydar Origamos. You probably never heard of him.
As a matter of fact, I have. He has event horses. I beat his entry in the Huerin this year.
Good. I wish you'd managed to trample him at the same time. Oh, you should see him fawning on Hobart and Hobart lapping it up. Oh, the man has absolutely no background in diplomatic service, no experience in dealing with foreign entities. He thinks any political system which doesn't embrace rejuvenation is corrupt and probably about to attack us. He's already managed to insult the Crescent Worlds, and they're ours. Oh, and worse than that, he thinks he's the right person to comfort widows. He keeps hinting to me that he would make a fine stepfather.
Brunn mimed gagging. Cecilia grabbed for yet another topic, anything but Pater. She had never been in a conversation with quite so many landmines.
Who's in colonial affairs now?
Oh, another Consuline lackey, Davor Vraymont. Oh, it's dawned on them. Well, on everyone, I guess. That repeatable rejuvenation could cause the biggest population explosion ever, as well as locking up wealth in the very, very old. Oh, that'd mean a lot of ambitious, frustrated young people. So, colonization has been speeding up for some time. Well, I didn't know that. Buttons told me he'd talk to Dad about it, but I found out that Consuline Sept has major investments in development companies, and their projections for the rate at which excess population can be absorbed by development make no sense, unless there's a much higher failure rate than before. That bit of information I got from a clerk in Colonial who'd been fired for insubordination. Oh, it all makes me suspicious.
Cecilia carefully erected bomb-proof partitions in her mind against a loose tongue.
You remember that Ronnie is my nephew?
Yes, of course.
His parents are concerned about the situation on the world he's moved to. I hear that some supplies in the contract weren't actually delivered, that there's the possibility of interference with communications. What if the Consulines are counting on a certain percentage of colonies to fail because they get their profit from selling colony shares?
Oh, I could believe that. But how could we prove it?
I don't know. We need Kevil. I'd better go visit him.
It's pretty bad. You know he lost an arm, too.
No, I didn't. When I saw him in the hospital before I took off with the babies, it was just a shape in the bed, and I didn't have much time.
They're trying to grow a replacement, but so far it hasn't worked. They've lost 3 buds. And George says his memory's still damaged and he can't concentrate.
Is he still in the hospital?
No. They moved him to a rehab center, and then George took him home. Our wonderful new speaker decided he was a security risk at the rehab center.
Well then, I'll go over tomorrow. Maybe I can be of some help.
You know, Uncle Harless runs the Planetary Development Corporations for the Barraclough Sept. What colony are Ronnie and Rafa in?
Except 24.
Rats. I was hoping it was one of ours. That way I could pump them. Exet Environmental Group is a Consuline corporation. I wonder why they chose that one instead of family. Oh, not that it matters.
I don't know. Possibly the shares cost less?
Could be. Anyway, I bet something's going on all these new colonies. I wish I had Kevil's background files, because I rather suspect the data in the main computers had been fiddled with as well. And now that I've talked your ears off, both of them, how about a visit to the stable? We don't have much here, as you probably remember, but there are a couple of nice mares we could take a ride through the orchards on, if you like.
No, thank you, my dear. Everyone thinks of me as a thoroughly horse-besotted old woman, but one prerogative of old women is to surprise young ones occasionally. I shall go stroll in your gardens, if I may.
Well then, I'm for the pool. See you at dinner.
The Serrano Legacy, Change of Command, is continued on the next CD.